I would like to start with a thought from the first reading, and it says, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. This is something that is a constant reminder. So again, you know, we read the Gospels, and we are reminded from four different writers of the Gospels, which is because we have to be constantly reminded, and it has to be always in front of us. Remember how sometimes we would put a sticker or a note on our like refrigerator door, and that's what we need to do. We need to keep the Word of God right in front of us all the time, all the time, all the time, so that we would not drift away from it. It is exactly what the enemy wants, for us to forget God's promises. And in today's reading, it's about John the Baptist, and we again look at how John the Baptist models an attitude of utter humility, knowing his place, his role in the plan of salvation. He precisely did know his role was in the plan of salvation. He did not do more, and neither did he do less. Having said that, as you know, that the readings have moved from the Gospel of Mark to the Gospel of John, and I've been looking at something from Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, that has been in my heart for a couple of days now. And that's what I would like to reflect on today. It sounds cryptic and it sounds a mysterious proverb. And allow me to read it to you. It's from Mark chapter 9, verse 49 to 50. For everyone, this was Jesus speaking, for everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Those are mysterious words from our Lord, really much of a proverb. And Jesus first mentions fire and salt. Jesus is teaching in a typical rabbinic style, linking words to invite his listeners to thoughtful reflection. As I said to you, and I would like to say it again, let us not shy away from difficult sayings that we encounter in the scripture. When that happens, all the more we need to push and find out and let God speak to us. What is he saying? Everyone will be salted with fire. That's what Jesus said. What could Jesus mean by this mysterious saying? Well, first, let us look at the purpose of salt. Salt's usefulness is to preserve and to season. For those of you who are living in the Philippines, as you know, dried fish is very common in the country, because we're surrounded with water, and fishing is a huge industry in the Philippines. And because when a fisherman catches a huge catch, he cannot eat all the catch in one day. So hence we have a way of preserving the catch, the fish, by putting salt on them. In the same way in Europe with the Spanish ham and even sausages and everything, it's to preserve. So it would last for many days or even months. So salt is to preserve. And the other thing that we use salt for is to season. And how many times, especially for those of you who love to cook, there's always salt and black pepper, particularly salt, in seasoning the food that is being cooked. So salt's usefulness is to preserve and to season. Old Testament temple sacrifices had to be offered with salt. The Israelites were warned not to insult God with offerings that has lack of salt, the salt of the covenant of your God from Leviticus. In other words, anything offered to God is not merely careless, routine, mechanical, ritual, and empty of genuine zeal. Jesus is speaking of salt as a necessary quality in his disciples the quality that keeps their spiritual life keen and vibrant. And if we are not careful, let me tell you, there are times that spiritual life can mean losing that that zeal, that as if that we are living in a desert. And I know that there are times and occasions that even after we have done what we have done, that we still lose that zeal. However, there are many cases, which is a more common case, that is like in a chimney that, you know, if you have a fire in a chimney, you have to keep on putting wood. Otherwise, eventually, the fire will be extinguished. Perhaps the better word is fervor, zeal, enthusiasm would capture the meaning. So what Jesus is saying, speaking about the salt, is that our walk with God, our devotion to God, everything that we do for God has to be accompanied with fervor, with zeal, with enthusiasm. To have zeal means to have a single-minded desire characterized by enthusiasm and devotion, often directed toward God. From the words of the Gospels describing Jesus, it said, and it says, zeal for your house has eaten me up. You know what it means? You know, there are times that you know, we are eating up by something that is on the inside. Jesus had tremendous enthusiasm, fervor, zeal for the house of God. If we will translate this to our world today as Christians, that means we need to always look forward to worship on Sunday, to gather together and pray. We need to be filled with zeal and enthusiasm in whatever we do for God. God Himself is a zealous God, not jealous, but zealous God for His people. Misdirected zeal, on the other hand, can degenerate into fanaticism. Jesus' warning of persecution is a result of resistance by those who are against the kingdom of God and the proclamation of the gospel, symbolized by fire, and because of which there comes suffering. And remember what we've heard in the first reading today. It said, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. Even our Lord did suffer. And why did He suffer? For doing good. And in other words, that Christians will encounter that kind of suffering as we proclaim God's kingdom, as we live by the kingdom of God, as we manifest God's kingdom. It's like the conflict between good and evil. And it is inevitable. Such will salt them through these things that they go through. Jesus says, it will salt you. Quite a strange phrase. As salt purifies us in refining precious metals. The second refers to the possibility that salt can lose its flavor. Salt practically seasons everything. If salt becomes tasteless, what is there to season salt that brings taste to the food that we eat? Jesus cautions His disciples against falling into a flavorless, lifeless spirituality, resulting to the loss of powerful witness to the world that they live in. If the disciples allow mediocrity in their Christian life, what is left to season the world? Spiritual blandness, spelled as B-L-A-N-D, blandness, tastelessness, stems from the reluctance to embrace Jesus' command of taking the cross and denying oneself. The antonym for mediocrity, the opposite of mediocrity, is excellence. Finally, in the midst of quarreling disciples, Jesus reminds them that the way to have peace with one another is to keep salt in themselves. Peace, or in Hebrew, shalom, means not merely the absence of conflict. There will be conflict, but the presence of all that is meant, that is needed in a good relationship, which is full communion. Christians also encounter conflicts. But we need to be peacemakers. Husbands and wives do have conflicts. But because Jesus is at the center of their relationship, then what happens is that they both have to submit to the will of Jesus. And because of that salt in their relationship, what happens is that eventually they resolve whatever conflict they have. Let me go back to the quote that we heard from the beginning from Ignatius of Loyola. It is not hard to obey when we love the one whom we obey. That means even carrying our cross, even taking up our cross, even denying oneself. If we are having a difficulty obeying God, and there are times that we do, simply meditate on God's love for you. And when we do, and we learn how to love Him, then we can obey Him. Let us apply saltness to prayer. Let me ask us this question. Do we have to shout and scream for God to hear us? Do we have to pray long prayers for God to listen to the cry of His people? Does not God hear our prayer even when our prayer is done in whisper? My brothers and sisters, true prayer must come from the heart, must be earnest, must be sincere, must be characterized with faith, hope, and joy in God. That is how we can apply salt in our prayers. Fervent prayer, earnest prayer, sincere prayer, prayer filled with faith, prayer filled with hope, and prayer filled with joy, because God hears our prayers. Does God hear our prayer even when we whisper? As the church fathers would say, definitely. Even the whisper of the heart, even our heartbeat, God hears. But He wants that our prayer is earnest, filled with zeal, filled with sincerity. That is the key to the prayer that God wants us to offer to Him.